Hey, this is Tim Page from Lead Pages and ConversionCast, and you're listening to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors, because really, who doesn't love a good crush?
Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 40.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, we have a special guest, Sean Buck. Sean Buck is the president and CEO of The Newsletter Pro. At The Newsletter Pro, they create thousands of custom newsletters every year, as well as print and mail over 3 million pieces of mail for their clients each year. In other words, Sean helps other business owners to grow and market their companies. He is 2014 GKIC's Marketer of the Year and author of a book, Newsletter Marketing, Insider Secrets to Using Newsletters to Increase Profits, Get More New Customers, and Keep Customers Longer Than You Ever Thought Possible. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So I said a little bit about what you do, but let's start by you telling us a little bit more about your business and about you.
Yeah, so my business, as you said, we're a print newsletter company. So we do ghostwriting and all the graphic design and all the project management and then all the printing and mailing to get newsletters out the door for clients now all over the world. We've got client about 10 or 12 clients in three countries other than the U.S. So, and we run about, we have 30, 31 employees now. We're based in Boise, Idaho, and just having a lot of fun, growing a business, doing some marketing, and then helping others, which is always a good time.
Great, Sean. So if you have to summarize your entrepreneurial journey with one word, what would it be and why?
Oh, man, the whole journey? I got to summarize the whole journey in one word?
If you can, yes.
Oh, gosh. I would say exciting. And the reason I say it's exciting is because there's never a dull day. I mean, there's always new. I like challenges and both just challenges to grow. I don't really like problems like everyone else. You know, everyone has problems that they've got to deal with, right? I don't like those. But it is, you know, but I do enjoy if there's a problem, looking at it and solving that problem and then figuring out how to make sure that problem doesn't happen again. And so there's always something that's fun and exciting. If I got to use two words, I would say exciting and tired, but that's just because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm tired, man. So.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah. You've been through some challenges. You said it yourself.
Yep.
So in those challenges, are there times that you did not take no as an answer, Sean?
I mean, there's a lot of times I don't take no as an answer. It just depends on the situation. I probably, you know, it so depends, right, on when I don't take no as an answer. But, you know, like most entrepreneurs, when I was starting this business, I was told, and this is kind of like a no, but I was told that I was crazy, right? We're a print newsletter company. So in this digital world, you know, no, you shouldn't do that. That's ridiculous, Sean. You're insane. And so all of that kind of stuff was told to me and I did it anyways. And so even in my beginning journey with this company, you know, people people told me they were naysayers, you know, said it shouldn't be done. It couldn't be done. You know, we have a very unique business compared to the way most people publish newsletters, because ours is custom. So we actually create newsletters that sound like our clients wrote them. And that's very unique. Most people do templated newsletters. So that, you know, that was another thing. People were telling us, no, that's all wrong. Don't do it that way. So, I mean, you know, because we do them custom and most people want to do them templated, that's the, you know, there's every other newsletter company out there that I know of that I can find that is doing any large scale amounts of business. They're all doing them templated. And I just know from personal experience, because I've been sending a newsletter for my own company since 2002, that didn't work. And so people would tell us, you know, that no, this is the wrong business model, or no, this is the wrong business. You should be doing email newsletters or something, which is a whole nother story, and those really don't work, but or work well. But you know, and so yeah, that would probably be my 1/2 examples. See, I'm already, you're limiting me to these one words and one examples. It's hard for me. It's hard.
I'm so sorry. If you feel like telling more, feel free.
Okay, I can give more. Okay, good.
Yeah. Do you think that sometimes being a hard worker or a hustler as an entrepreneur could be a disadvantage?
I do. I think being so I've got 5 kids. They're all boys, and I'm married. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can just work too hard and miss out on the fun stuff that's going on in life. And sometimes you can be so busy working hard that you're not working smart. I see that a lot from entrepreneurs. They're so busy working hard that they're not working smart. And so to give you an example, most people on this call, I'm going to guess, have heard, you know, some idea of the concept of, well, if you should be earning $100 an hour, then you shouldn't be doing $10 an hour work, you know? And that's a big concept. And when your business is big and it's making good money and you have good profits, that's very easy to implement. And when it's smaller and just starting out, that's a lot harder to implement, you know, when cash is tight. Yeah. But what I see is that, where I see people working harder, for example, is that they get into that mode where they're doing all the work, and then they get into the mode of no one can do it as good as I can. And that will limit your success. You will cap out because you can only work so hard. You can only work so many hours, and you have to become a good pointer. You have to become the ability to help others see your vision and bring them along with your vision and have them. Yes, they might not do it as good as you, but if they can get it to 80% or 90%, that's going to be the only way you can scale and the only way you can grow. And so I think sometimes just being, like I said, a hard worker really will limit the growth overall of the company, and we see that across small businesses all over.
Yeah, you're right about that. Did you ever experience a moment where you simply wanted to give it all up?
Oh yeah, every entrepreneur has experienced that moment. You know, in this business of the Newsletter Pro, I haven't. I don't have that story. In previous businesses, I do, but this business has been, you know, we've been on a huge growth curve and growing very fast and having a lot of fun and, you know, so I don't have that story in this particular business.
You said it earlier, you know, sometimes being a hustler could be working too much and then not spending enough time with our loved ones or yep. our family. People struggle with time.
Yep.
So how do you manage your time? And what's your secret for optimizing your productivity?
So I would say how I manage my time is, you know, I have major projects that I'm working on, and typically it's 3 at a time. And so I have a project planning worksheet. It's a simple Excel spreadsheet. You don't need anything fancy. We use some project management software that I now use for that, but that's only because we use it for, you know, managing all of our clients' projects. But for the longest time, I used an Excel spreadsheet, and what I had was I had my 3 major projects that I'm working on, and then I have every good idea that I come up with, you know, and I those go on a separate list, a separate like tab on the spreadsheet. And then I have the big tasks on the project. So it would be like if I'm I'm in the middle of writing a new report that we're going to give away. And this is one for Dennis. This happens to be one for Dennis, and it's on referrals. And so there's got to be some research has to be done. And then once the research is done, then I got to schedule time for writing. And then I've got to send it over to my editor. To edit it, and then the editor has to send it over to the graphics person, and then, you know, it's got to come back to me. I've got to review it. So I put all these you know tasks in the sheet, and then I put deadlines. When would I like to get them done? And who is assigned to do them? and then a status of the project. Which section is it in? Is it on task one, task two, task seven? And that's how I keep track. And then I will go through and actually schedule time on my calendar. And you got to have integrity about this, which is very hard to do. I don't always have integrity about it, but I schedule time on my calendar and then I keep those appointments with myself. And you can start out small. Everyone wants to go all in on this, but even if you started out with 3 hours a week, you know, 1 hour a day, three times a week, or if you're really so busy that you can't find that time, then, you know, you might have to sacrifice and stay up late. I used to get up really early in the morning, and that would be what I would do. So I'd get up at 5. I would work on some of those big projects that I knew I would never get done during the day because I was too busy. And then I'd go to the gym, and then I'd go into the office, and then I'd, you know, be doing the busy work that I had to do all day. Mm-hmm. So you've got to make that a priority. And so that's kind of how that's how I do my best to manage my time. Of course, every now and again, you got to put out a fire and something comes up, but you know, when that happens, I find additional time to reschedule. So if for some reason I can't do my time on Monday, then I find additional time in the week to reschedule. Or maybe one evening I sit on my laptop while TV's playing in the background, or one morning, or whatever the case may be.
What would you say, Sean, has influenced you the most in becoming who you are today, especially to go through your challenges?
Well, a person that others would know would be Dan Kennedy from GKIC.com. He would be the person that's influenced me the most from a business standpoint, by far. And I'm in his, some of his coaching groups and consult with him. And so from a business growth, that'd be who influences me the most, like I said, from a business standpoint.
And in your business, Sean, did you already get to some point where it was stable or stagnant? And then if it was, what were your strategy to get out of it?
In this business, we haven't had that challenge. We've been, like I said, we have just been going straight up for a while. But I have had, I mean, we've had times where we're not to goal. So let me talk about this. This might be a better way of answering this question. So, and it's current. It's going on right now. So we had two big conferences earlier in the year that we were exhibiting at and speaking at. And the conferences did not have the number of attendees that we and the conference people anticipated, so they weren't quite as big as we had hoped, and that has put us behind goal for since those conferences, because they didn't produce what we wanted them to produce. So we're still growing, we're still growing very fast, but we're having to catch up to make the end of the year goal that you know, I set for us at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So here's what we're doing to meet that goal. First thing is we're looking for cross-sell opportunities. So who is buying product A from us that would also be a good fit for them to buy product B? A lot of entrepreneurs think that all their clients know everything that they do and everything that they sell, and it couldn't be further from the truth. Most of your clients, they know you by the one or two widgets that they buy from you. And that's all. And so, you know, the majority of people know us as the newsletter pro, and that's great. That's what we want them to know us as. But if you're, for example, a dentist, we have some great direct mail letters that kill it for dentists, and of driving in new patients. One in particular that we're trying to cross sell now, you know, for depending on how big the practice is, you know, obviously will depend on how many letters we can send out. But we have one practice last year that generated over $1 million worth of new revenue for that practice. So, but even though we have a ton of dental clients, a lot of them don't know about this product. So we're cross-selling. So that's one option, right? The second thing is that we're looking at is how do we generate more leads? So what are we doing now that's working to generate leads, and what can we do to increase that? How can we generate more leads? And then the third thing we're looking at is just, you know, can we follow up? You know, we already follow up with clients for or our prospects for a very long period of time, but maybe can we do more than just the newsletter and the insert that goes in the newsletter? Maybe is there a campaign that we can send out that was someone who was interested but didn't buy for whatever reason? Most people think that they didn't buy because they weren't interested in the product, and usually people didn't buy because they just weren't ready right then and there. But so what can we do? Can we go back to those and maybe try to close some of those deals that we didn't close earlier. And so those are three of the maybe five things that we're working on to catch up to, because we're a little bit behind on where I want to be by the end of the year.
When did you realize that marketing was important for your business growth? Is it something you knew right at the beginning, or you learned it along the way?
I mean, I've been self-employed since 2001 full-time, and so I didn't know it then, but I've owned maybe seven businesses, since that time frame, and I definitely knew it pretty quickly. So on this one, and you know, it's not even just about marketing. It's more, even more about doing the right marketing, right? What's going to actually get people interested and the right people interested. I don't want always people who can only spend the minimum or only, do the minimum type of a deal. You know, I mean, we need the right marketing. So it draws in big clients. It draws in clients who are, want to be with us long-term, you know, not here today, gone tomorrow clients, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Are there things that you still struggle with marketing, though?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone struggles with marketing to some degree. And so for us, we help all sorts of businesses, you know, lawyers to construction workers to dentists to, you know, I mean, just everything in between. We've got a lot of different fitness clubs. We've got a lot of different types of businesses, right? Mm-hmm. But one area we're working on growing is in the dental niche. And so, you know, every time you go into a new niche, lead generation is a little bit different. It's not the same. And I think lead generation is one of the most difficult things out there. Some others may disagree, but I think driving new qualified leads. And so, you know, having to change up our marketing and our system and process and tweak it every time we enter a new kind of vertical is one of the most difficult things. It just takes the most amount of time. It's the most amount of trial and error. It could be we might be 90 days into it or even 6 months into it before we realize whether we've made a wrong turn. So if we decide to go into the dental market and it's not a good market for us, which we already know it's a great market, but if for some reason we didn't know that already, that could be, it might be 6 months before we figure that out. And that's a lot of wasted time. So I would say lead generation is probably one of the most difficult things in business and one of the things people mess up the most.
Would you mind sharing a couple of your favorite marketing strategies to promote your business that are working for you right now and that help you crush your competitors?
Yeah, sure. So our book is one of my favorite strategies. Everyone says, you may have heard people say, you need a book, you need a book, you need a book. It is absolutely true. You need a book. It's a lot of people go about creating a book incorrectly. So if you're a dry cleaner, you don't want to write all about dry cleaning. That's what holds a dry cleaner up from creating a book because, you're not trying to create a sleep aid. You're trying to create something people will actually read. But that's okay. You can talk about your journey and just, you know, kind of casually talk about the, you know, your business as in the dry cleaning. You can talk about your experiences. You can do all of that in the actual book. It doesn't have to be a book on dry cleaning. If you read my book, you'll know that it is, the first couple of chapters are all really just, you know, hey, here's where I was and here's where I am. And then we start getting in, there is some teaching. There's a lot of teaching in the book, but, yes. You know, it doesn't start with here's newsletters. So the book, obviously, I'm a big believer in newsletters because I've been sending them out for so long and then created a company around it. Direct mail. We are still doing a lot of direct mail, and that works very well for us. And then figuring out, I would say, you know, maybe an idea that your listeners haven't thought of is, and something we're always striving for, how can we spend more money kind of impressing the prospect, right? Or, and for our clients as well, too. But how can we spend more money to impress them and have them realize that we're the company to do business with? So where can we, you know, how can we afford to do that? And so that, you know, just something to think about. Where can you increase prices or have a startup fee or have, you know, what can you do that can allow you to spend even more on getting those clients?
Now, Sean, tell us what business book has influenced you the most and why?
Ooh, man. Which only one again, man. You know, so I'm as the true entrepreneur, I'm going to answer it by telling you 15. So no, all of the Dan Kennedy books. When I said he was my mentor and has influenced me the most, it's completely true. I get every newsletter subscription package they offer. I read all of his books. I've read many of them multiple times. You know, and I love them. If you want something that's not Dan Kennedy, a book I really love is A Complaint is a Gift. And I don't know the author off the top of my head, but you can find it on Amazon for 10 or 12 bucks. A Complaint is a Gift. And it's basically I read it years and years ago. I've read it a couple of different times. And it's our foundation for customer service, which is, you know, when what I kind of said at the beginning of this call, when people have challenges or a complaint or whatever, I like to look at those and figure out how I can improve the system. And so we want to make it right for the person who had the challenge so they feel that they didn't get the short end of the stick. And then we want to figure out how to improve the system. And that's that book talks a bit about that. And so I enjoy that one as well.
All right. Well, thanks, Sean. You gave us you gave us the whole Dan Kennedy collection, so we can check it out. You respected the one, well, almost.
Almost. Like I respected it in entrepreneurial fashion, right? You know, so
yeah.
Kind of respected it, but then kind of disrespected it. No, I just, you know, we as entrepreneurs, as you know, always seem to be crossing that line and pushing the boundaries and
It's okay. I'm okay with it.
Okay, Sean. Good.
What is, from your point of view, the key to financial success, Sean?
The key to financial success, I mean, I think the key is, you know, if you're talking from a business standpoint, is no debt. No debt is the start of financial success. And so I have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment here that we have to use to produce the newsletters. And unlike most companies who lease them, we pay cash for them. Now that sometimes means we have to save up and we don't get the equipment quite as soon as we would like to have it. But it puts me in such a position where I have a lot of security and safety, you know, in the business. If I lose my biggest client tomorrow, it'll be okay. You know, I'm not saying I won't go out and have a margarita and drown my sorrows, but financially we'll be fine as a company. We could lose our three biggest clients tomorrow and we would be fine as a company. Mm-hmm. And part of it is that we don't carry any debt. You know, I mean, we lease our business. So some, I guess if you want to consider that debt, but I mean, you got to have a building somewhere. And I don't mind if you own a building, but short of equipment, I would say that's the key. That's the first step. The second step is, can your business even get you to where you want to go? Mm-hmm. So understanding where you want to be, and can the business realistically provide that lifestyle? If it can't, you're probably in the wrong business. And I don't think business owners evaluate that enough. They have a good idea, they get going, and then never look back to say, you know, I want to make, you know, $250,000 a year. But their business, there's like almost zero chance that business can ever get there. When we started evaluating business opportunities based off of, can it meet our goals, or, you know, is it a good idea and can it meet our goals? That's when, you know, myself and my wife, we really started doing better in business. Before, we just evaluated off of, does this sound like a cool business? And will this be fun? And you need to have that element, but you got to have the element of, Will it actually be able to meet the goals that you would like to establish?
What is the best spiritual advice you've ever received?
Best spiritual advice I've ever received is read the Bible and believe in Jesus Christ. It's the best spiritual advice I've ever received.
How do you gain control of your emotions, Sean?
I have no control over my emotions. I cry at the drop of a hat and you know, I mean, it's hard. You know, you just gotta. Just on the way in, even today, right? I had a vendor disappoint me and made me very frustrated. And you know, you just sometimes just have to breathe and take a second before you respond. And it's, you know, entrepreneurs are very emotional people. I can tell you I am. I'm going to, you know, so there are things where, you know, I genuinely feel, you know, employees having a problem and it genuinely hurts me. It touches me, you know, and there are times where even I can help, but for whatever reason, because of the employee-employer relationship, I feel it's not appropriate. And so, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. You've got to take a minute. And sometimes you got to sleep on it. I do a lot of that. Let me think about it and see how I feel about it tomorrow. Hopefully that helps.
And is there a good habit that helps you physically, Sean?
I'm a big believer in hitting the gym or CrossFit or running or doing something at least 3 times a week. So much as you're able and healthy, I think it helps just in energy levels, which as an entrepreneur, you need pretty high energy levels. So.
And to wrap it up here, Sean, is there something else you want to share with the All-Star team, like your words of wisdom or a success quote?
Yeah, sure. I would say my words of wisdom would be to really make sure, stop spending so much time, as if you read the E-Myth, stop spending so much time in the business and work on the business. And the way you need to do that is you need to take some time and think about and think through challenges. You need to think through opportunities. You need to really have that introspection. So I am always looking to improve myself, whether it's via books or via a course I bought or something along those lines, and then figuring out how I can improve myself and my business. So I'll, you know, that will be my business one. Can I give you a personal one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So here's a personal one. This is something I started doing years ago that I think I've had some friends do it, and it's been very beneficial for them. So, you know, none of us can change, you know, if we don't know that there's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So I just celebrated my 10-year wedding anniversary on Friday and 15 years together. So 15 years together, 10 years married. Thank you. And so one of the secrets, both for my kids and for my wife, what I do is I will talk to them about every 6 months, sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter, but I will say, you know, I'll just ask them, how am I as a husband? How am I being as a dad? And I'll ask them for their most truthful, honest opinion. And I'll listen. I try not to do a whole lot of talking during this period because this is their perception. Right. And so even if I think that they're wrong, their perception is their reality. And so if they're saying, hey, you know, you do this and it hurts me, even if that's not what I mean to be doing, you know, I don't mean for what I'm saying to hurt them. But if that's what's happening, then I need to change. And so for your kids, you could get a ton of things. Sometimes they're like, nope, you're great. I love you. You know, and that's awesome. Right. But sometimes it's like, hey, I noticed that you've been yelling a lot. Well, I'm not a yeller. And so if my kids feel I've been yelling a lot, holy cow, I need to really look at that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so that's been probably the biggest thing, words of wisdom I would share with you in your personal life. And it takes a lot of guts to go and do that. But if you'll do it and then actually think about it, that's where that introspection comes in and think about it and then work on it. So what I'll do is let's say that it's something where you know, let's say it's yelling, right? So I'll give my kids or my wife like a safe word. Like, so if I start doing this, I want you to point it out to me by telling me, ducks don't fly. I don't know, whatever, make it up. Right. And so I'll hear it. Now I might not be able to process it at that point if I'm upset. Right. But I personally will process it later and be like, oh crap, I see what they mean there. And I'm being goofy on the ducks don't fly. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want. Usually they just say, hey, you see, that's what I was talking about when we were talking about the thing to improve. You know, that's usually what we do. But, you know, I find that I get less and less, the things that they need me to improve on are much smaller and smaller as we, you know, as the more and more I ask this. And so, and it just makes for a better, happier life, which, you know, the whole reason for being an entrepreneur, the reason we all got into this was freedom and to have a great life and to be happy. And so, yeah, that's my personal side of it.
Well, I think it's a very good advice that you just gave us, Sean. And as you say, as an entrepreneur, that's what we want. We want freedom, but also we want balance.
Yeah.
and we want to be loved.
Absolutely. So it's no good to have all the money in the world and lose your family in the process. So
if people want to connect with you, where can they go?
Absolutely. They can head to our website, which is thenewsletterpro.com. So thenewsletterpro.com. And there's a form up there, and if they opt in, we'll send them a CD, and I'll put you on a subscription to our print newsletter. So we'll actually mail one to you every single month for at least a year. And it's a business and marketing newsletter. So there's a little bit of fun in there as well. But if you're curious to what a really good newsletter would look like if you're trying to do one for yourself, that would be modeling it after ours. Ours is an 8-page newsletter. You can start with 4 pages if you want, but you'll definitely see we're doing everything I recommend, to clients. We do in our own newsletter, obviously, and it works. We get a lot of business out of it, a lot of clients who will, people who, we talked to or originally met. I think our furthest one was 18 or 19 months is when we originally met them, and then they finally signed up, so. Yeah, we get a lot of business by following up with it. So if you want to see an example, that'd be a great way. And then I promise you'll get good business articles and advice in the newsletter every month.
Thank you so much for your time. Generosity.
Yeah. Well, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it so much.
This was another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. First of all, I want to thank all of you who took the time to leave a rating and review on iTunes. I really appreciate it. Actually, it motivates me to keep going, invite some more experts, some more people, and share great information for you to crush it with your marketing. And then I want to invite you to go on marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com to learn how to get more customers by applying this one strategy as a marketing weapon. So you go there right now, marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com, and you get your bonus. So I'll talk to you soon, okay? Take care.